This is KERA News. I'm Rick Holter. Now that South Carolina has removed the Confederate flag that flew over its capital, Texas is also wrestling with its Civil War legacy. A Robert E. Lee statue in Dallas was defaced, and a University of Texas task force is debating what to do with its monuments to that era. Richard Lowe is a historian at the University of North Texas in Denton who specializes in the Civil War. Richard Lowe, welcome to the Friday Conversation.
Thank you.
Let's start with the most thorny issue of all, slavery. How is slavery different in Texas than it was in the rest of the South?
Essentially, slavery is slavery, so you can't get away from the fact that it meant people were being held against their will. Along the Gulf Coast, there were several counties where slavery was very highly developed, with very large plantations producing cotton and sugarcane. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, it was like any other large slaveholding area in the South. In this part of Texas, slavery was very thin. I think there were only about 1,100 slaves in all of Dallas County in 1860.
Out of how many people?
Out of about 8,700, so about 12%, which was very low. They tended to be household servants or workers on small farms.
Now, even folks who don't know much about Texas history know it's been governed under six flags. It was an independent nation for almost a decade, starting in the 1830s, and then was part of the Union for 16 years. What made Texas flip the switch to the Confederacy?
I don't think it was much of a flip of the switch, because as long as slavery existed in Texas, and it had since the beginning of Anglo settlement, Texas was going to be part of that section of the nation that was nervous about slavery and nervous about its continuation. So when all of its neighbors to the east seceded, it was almost inevitable that Texas would go, even though Sam Houston did his best to stop it.
When you say he did his best to stop it, in what way?
He was requested to call a state-level meeting to consider secession, and he refused to do so. And in fact, a special convention that met in order to secede removed him from office. So he spent the war alone. He didn't take part on either side. He thought it was all a terrible mistake.
When you look at Texas today, what do you see that was shaped by the Civil War and then Reconstruction?
The most obvious thing, of course, is race relations. We've been struggling in Texas and in the United States as a whole for 150 years trying to get that right. As far as Texas in particular is concerned, Reconstruction brought public education in Texas. Hmm. There was no public education system in Texas before the Civil War. It was the Republicans during Reconstruction who established a public school system in Texas.
There's been a lot of debate over the last few weeks about new textbooks coming to Texas public schools this fall. They focus on states' rights and not so much slavery as the reason the state joined the Confederacy. How does that jive with the historical record?
Well, people who study this all their lives for a living, professionals, are almost 100% in unison that slavery was at the bottom of the Civil War. Without slavery, there wouldn't have been a Civil War. And occasionally I get students who say it wasn't about slavery, it was about the tariff, or it was about states' rights. And I always recommend that they read the statement of the Texas Secession Convention, because the members of that convention wanted to explain to the world why Texas seceded. Mm-hmm. And what they mention is slavery, not states' rights. States' rights was a prop for slavery.
Do you think the South and Texas will ever be at peace about the Civil War legacy?
I think so. I've been teaching at the college level since the late 60s. And the level of emotional attachment to the Confederacy is much, much lower today among college-age people than it was back when I started. I think that will happen.
Richard Lowe is a history professor at the University of North Texas. Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you for inviting me.